at Busted Pencils, Olidi, Lighted Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. You know who that is. You know, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci and me, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jacob, chairman of the boards, is with us. It's an awesome Saturday. Great to see my two favorite people, you know, especially here. Even though it's only through the incredible technological triumph of video conferencing that I get to see you guys. But as hot as it is here in Ohio, it's probably to your benefit, because my guess is that being in the same room with me right now might create a little bit of a, you know, problem, because I'm not feeling like I'm smelling so good right at this moment. Just thought I'd share that on a Saturday for y'all.
Oh, Jesus, Tim. It's Saturday. It's warm out. We've experienced some warm days across the country, listeners. If you had a warm day, enjoy it. It's beautiful out. I mean, it's spring, huh? Tim, you were saying it's basically feeling like summer. But, hey, we're at it. We're glad you're with us. It's Saturday. We've been bickering, bantering, jabbering, right, about the state of higher education and the, like, unavoidable, omnipresent, you know, factor of AI. And, Tim, I'm excited today. I think we're going to jump into that, huh?
Yeah, we're going to dig deeply, and we have, like you said, you know, we've been going at it, going back and forth, you know, with Stephen Mintz, and again, the, you know, the Scott Latham article in the Chronicle of Higher Education. We said, you know what, we need the time, we need a Saturday to really dig into this and see if, you know, at the end of a 1 hour, if Johnny and Tim might actually start to take communion in the same church in the future, or whether or not there's going to continue to be, you know, some kind of, I, you know, with the conclave going on this weekend and things like that, I, you know, just got to keep that up to speed. But Johnny, yes, we're talking about, are you ready for the AI university? Everything is about to change. It's in the Chronicle of Higher Education. Some people say the newspaper of higher education. And for people out there, higher education, college, university, you know, the places, anybody who watched Animal House in the 70s, that place we're talking about. People are like, wait, what? You know, universities, AI, we're back and forth. Where are we going? But the piece, and this was released, you know, it's, it, I don't know if it is it old now in the age of AI, April 8th, 2025. And I just think that this piece is profound. Now, is that a positive way of representing it? I don't know. We'll talk about it, but it is, you know, one of those things. And speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. And it's, you know, it's sitting in front of you. It's sitting in front of me. You know, the suggested title, AI. Apocalypse or opportunity?
I guess we can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know what? That would be an interesting thing to go back and say, okay, what do you think, AI? I mean, where are we headed with this? But, you know, in the opening hook, I'll even put it out there. It's, you know, Tim, why don't you say, we're awash in headlines predicting AI will revolutionize higher education. Scott Latham says it's already begun. Is this the beginning of the end? Or a new beginning entirely? Well, Johnny, that's what we've been talking about. I mean, I'm going to put this forward. I see this article as a huge wake-up call to higher education. Some places typically, and I'll point this out there, being, you know, 25 plus years in higher education, a slow-moving machine when it comes to adopting things that are happening. And some people would even say, and thank goodness, because we need wisdom. We need, you know, to put on the brakes sometimes so that we're not just jumping into the next fad. And higher education, you know, always gives us that sense of steadiness. I'm going to take this, though, and say, you know what? I'm not sure higher education is ready as a whole. I think there are different institutions that might be more than ready or than others. I think there are faculty out there experimenting, maybe even some becoming very proficient. I think students are coming at it again with the way students typically do, which is they know more than us, but at the same time, what they don't know is really troubling and really problematic. And, you know, they put this on, Johnny, and we talked about this with Stephen Mintz's article too. 10 years. Is 10 years kind of those ways, you know, that window where we can say, so what's going to happen in 10 years? I said when Stephen Mintz's article came out in the piece, the other, I've just drawn a blank on, we'll reference his piece in a second. But, you know, he made a prediction of 10 years. And I said, I pushed back on that because after reading Scott Latham's article, I think 10 years is way too far out to be making any type of projections. And what I see happening is in 2 to 3 years, we're going to see radical change. Johnny, you and I may be pushed back on each other on whether that's happening or not. But, you know, I really do see, and I'm going to follow the AI talking points. I see the urgency and creative disruption in this moment. And I think I'm not going to be the downer. I'm going to phrase this as the opportunity, not the apocalypse, for institutions to become really awesome and to get out of that negative stereotype that, you know, they're just slow moving. They teach kids irrelevant skills. Colleges are worthless. They just take student loans and, you know, they saddle kids with debt. No, no, no. If you're an institution of higher education and you see this moment and seize this moment, I see this as an opportunity to become more than relevant, but to be seen as an essential partner to the neighbors, to the community, to the people, and not just traditional students. And in fact, I'd say maybe more so outside, all of those other students out there with some higher education but never finished, there's an opportunity to reach out and actually hold the hands and create partnerships with a whole new population of students. But you're going to have to take on AI. Johnny, I'm going to hint. I'm speaking of this from the standpoint of realizing that you've hinted, you know, I'm going to be going into a new position. And academic innovation is actually in my title. You know, I'm not going to say where it is yet and all that. And so Maybe why I'm looking at this article and things like that, maybe more with a framework of going, we got to get moving on this. I don't know. I'll put it to you, but Johnny, that's my take as we're opening up this piece, AI University. Are you ready, Johnny?
Well, Tim, I'm going to ask you some questions because I got to better understand your position, because right now I don't. Sounds like a good political pitch for all the things. I liked what you were saying, like partnership and increased access to, you know, pathways to new careers, to, you know, completion of degrees that help complement, you know, a need in our community, right? We learn to do particular skills and have knowledge that we can apply in our careers and our communities that strengthens a democracy, that strengthens a local economy. All that sounds great, but I'm still unclear on when you say, are you ready for the AI university? What you mean, because I hear you saying both and.
You're right.
Like, I hear you. I mean, the big thing right now is when I talk about AI with a lot of teachers, it kind of falls into two categories, and that's both at our K-12 level and in colleges and which we call higher education. You know, there's two kinds of discussions happening. There's the, well, no, they're trying to replace professors. And I think on some level, that's every career out there. So pencil busters, you know, listeners out there, you're probably thinking about, you know, is AI going to take my job? And I think for a lot of jobs that is not true. Mm-hmm. But I do think AI is becoming part of nearly everybody's job in some capacity. So knowing how to engage with AI, how to use AI, its limitations and strengths have become absolutely essential. So I think there's the one conversation, right? On one hand, it's, you know, is AI coming for our jobs? And I hear that when you say, are you ready for the AI university? I know a couple of weeks ago I said, Tim, you sound like a professor hater. You know, you are saying all these professors who aren't ready for AI, you're going to lose your job. And I'm like, whoa, Tim, you sound like that one conversation where it's like AI is coming for our jobs. So that's one conversation. The other conversation, which I hear you saying both of these, is, you know, are we ready for the important collaboration? That's not a conversation of replacement. That's a conversation of how a tool enhances the learning experience in higher education or at any level. And I think that's a generative congregation, if we want to use that church metaphor you dropped, that I'm interested in hearing, you know, their thoughts. That's the conversation I'm in. That's the one I want to be in. But I also want to recognize that, like, I also hear you talking about replacement. And so I want a little more clarification on when you say, are you ready for the AI university? I'm like, hold on. I don't know that I'm ready for the AI university, but I certainly am on board for how we explore correct collaboration. Because I think when it comes to teaching, and this is at all levels, there's a unique value of humanness in the craft. Mm. It predates all of these technologies. I know on the show I've talked about calculators. Sometimes I like to call them cackalacks, right, in my classroom. But the calculators, right, all those kinds of tools. The word processors, we have conversations all the time of, like, do we practice handwriting? Do we do cursive still, or are we doing typing? This is sounding like, as my kids say, a conversation from the last century. They're always reminding me that I'm a teacher of last century. So they say, of course you remember using pencils and bubble tests and things like that. But Tim, you know, when we come back, I want to dive into a little more clarity around what in the heck is this AI university, buddy? What is it? When we come back, plus some pencils.
And you hear that, you're just like, holy crap, what is coming? Well, you know what it is. It's busted pencils. Tim Johnny, chairman of the boards, Jacob.
Hey,
Saturday. Here we are, busting pencils. Johnny, man, took me apart as we left the last segment.
I don't
know
about that, Tim. I'm just asking for clarification. We're going to try and. Where do we land on that? Is, you know, is AI a replacement? Is AI university, as you kind of pitch it, is it a replacement of the necessary humanness I'm arguing is teaching, or is it a collaboration, a powerful tool?
All right. Let me try my best, because I think those are legitimate. Yes. And let's reveal Scott Latham's article or post in the Chronicle of Higher Education, are you ready for the AI university? Everything is about to change. He takes it to the furthest point that says, hey, guess what? You know, and we're going in this 10-year range. He sees the possibility and, in fact, probability of a fully engaged AI university with minimal people, you know, running it, essentially turning it on, hitting go, and things like that. I am not cheerleading for that, and I don't really necessarily see that as a positive development. I definitely see this as a collaborative opportunity to really, really make higher education powerful, relevant, incredibly transformative, and a place where students, and let's expand students outside of those 18 to 25 year olds that typically we think of when we're thinking of higher education. When I refer to students in this coming AI-ness that could be used as a collaborator at an institution ready to do incredible things, that students are everybody. Everybody in this moment, it can be a student. And an institution of higher education, I think, too, and this is a legitimate criticism, not just of, you know, an enhanced, but universities, particularly big elites, but almost every university has this, you know, preparation. Who's allowed in? Who's allowed access to the university? You know, and typically, if you're old school, some SAT or ACT score allowed you in or didn't allow you in, you know, so access was always limited. I think institutions need to move away. And I see AI as this place where, in fact, if we don't become more accessible to others, students writ large, what I'm saying, the redefinition of students, meaning potentially anybody, then access, we've got to reimagine access, because some of the things that you can get on AI, and this is something we'll talk about, is that you can have students potentially asking the question, well, why would I pay for something like this when I can get it on AI for free or a cheaper AI university? I don't want to go there yet, but to just say, knowing that, I think becoming accessible. So I'm going to continue to phrase this as higher education, colleges, universities, moment and opportunity to really expand access, to really look at this tool as a companion, as a partner, as an enhancement, an AI hybriding of the work we already do. And that this moment too, to really be partnering with industry, particularly the places where we know and we see AI is already being adopted. And in fact, their expectation of future workers is AI, some form of competence. So maybe is that a little bit more relaxed, Johnny? Or did I calm down a little bit for you?
Well, I think so. And I think that's a really important conversation to have, to emphasize. And I hear you saying that, you know, there is an extreme version here where, you know, we talk about a fully automated AI thing. And I cringe a bit. I'm with you. I don't want to see that happening. I think technology certainly could support that, but it removes that unique humanness that is part of education. It's at the heart. I'm going to use that word specifically and biologically, at the heartbeat of education, to be present at, you know, new ideas emerging. And so I think that would be a loss, right, to go fully automated. I think that'll exist. I mean, cursory, I think that exists with the internet. I say all the time to students, like, you know, when they like, why are you here? What's unique about what you being in a classroom together? What's unique about us having programs, even in hybrid form where we're online and, you know, meeting in video conference formats and chat boards and things? You know, what's unique about you being part of a community? What's special about this? And the exchange and the dialogue and the importance of being in a group, learning, utilizing social learning theory, albeit adapted with the role technology plays in our life. I don't think that will go away. And I think that I'm right there with you, that collaboration model. I think that, like, I'd go as far to say, and I believe it's inside higher ed, I read recently, you know, most successful institutions will be those that create frameworks for AI integration that enhances rather than replaces the human elements in education. You know, turning what was once that conversation of like, are students going to use it to cheat? You know, that conversation around academic integrity, but more leaning towards, I think, Tim, what you're saying is that this is a powerful tool to be a catalyst for more personalized, engaging, and effective learning experience. I'll speak to it as a professor. In the small amount of time I've engaged in utilizing AI in the classroom, both teaching about it, because, right, I teach teachers, they need to know how AI can be used in their craft, them being teachers. So I need to teach it. I also have it as part of my pedagogical practice and have been learning. But I will say, Tim, in my day-to-day grind as a professor, it has become a powerful tool, not a replacement to me writing and researching, but an important tool. This generation, I talked about it in the show last week on Monday. I said, I gave some sort of some key points in the changing landscape of higher education. And I talked about student expectations, right? A changing demographic and student expectations. And I've really been thinking a lot about our culture and where that intersects with education, especially in terms of, if we were to say, and I don't say this negatively, Netflix, Google, Amazon, the immediacy of access to information and product that we have as a culture. Well, those habits of mind trickle into school. And I've struggled, I'll say, especially coming out of COVID, I've struggled as a human being and a teacher to be accessible 24/7. It's burnt me out a few times, around the clock. Emails work. Technology has moved faster than our human capacity to adapt to it. I can't respond to a student's email that comes in at 11:45 at night by 8 a.m. the next morning. I know teachers out there, you have this going too. But what AI has done is it's freed me up to be human at my job again. It's allowed for me to have some automation and some support. So I want to get into that, Tim. I think we're landing on a similar plane here.
Uh-oh.
I like it. We're sharing a runway, as unlikely as that might have seemed with our odds with AI. Let's dig into it even more. The AI University, what does that mean? When we get back, let's go.
Said, man, it feels like I'm at a Kiss concert. Explosions, the rocking guitar. It's not a Kiss concert. It's better. It's Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, and me, Dr. Tim Slecker. We are here. AI. Yes. Everybody's like, are you guys going to stop? Well, I don't know, but you know, big push today though, an hour Saturday to really dig into this. The AI University, is it coming? Are they ready? You know, Johnny and I might be, you know, trying to use the same runway, which, you know, is progress. Jacob, your question earlier about what would AI say? I didn't exactly do that, but in the analysis of Scott's article, AI did say that at times, Latham overstates the inevitability and speed of AI's total takeover. While it's advancing rapidly, the projection that most institutions will rely on AI for every major decision by 2030 underestimates institutional inertia, legal constraints, and the other one, faculty is obsolete. This article perpetuates a binary where AI replaces faculty rather than reimagines their role. It ignores emerging hybrid models where AI augments faculty capabilities rather than replaces them. So AI didn't have a problem critiquing and finding problems with the AI takeover. Jacob,
so what you're telling me, Tim, is that the AI said, oh, don't worry, humans, I'll never take your jobs. Just relax, be complacent. There's nothing to be afraid of. Okay, sounds good, right, Tim.
All right. Yeah, maybe this is a tricky AI that's coming for your job. All right, you know, yeah, Johnny, what you were talking about, though, when we left the last segment, the idea of how professors, and I do want to get back into this, not as a professor hater, but to talk about this, in fact, what AI says is the, you know, obsolete, that faculty are going to become obsolete. I don't see that. But I do, and I don't want to go too deep into this, I do see that AI is really going to push on some of our faculty colleagues to get better. And you know, it just the stand and deliver, show up with a PowerPoint, the kind of idea, presenting information, you know, no. In fact, I could say, you know, AI can present information way better than a lot of the professors I had back in my day in some of those. And so in that sense, are faculty ready to step up and use it, Johnny, the way you kind of put out there, you know, reducing time on those busy tasks that used to take up way too much of our time and allow us to dig deep into that work, that you know, spiritual work of teaching, of learning, of getting in and motivating and creating spaces for students where they can come in and share with us not what class they need next semester, but maybe how they're looking deeply at a class and how it's going to influence their future and what they're thinking about, right? The things we professors have always wanted. You know, I hated academic advising. And it's like, no, it was never advising. It was always helping students get their darn schedule, right? Occasionally, we would get some advising here and there. But no, we see this, you know, do we have an opportunity? And Johnny, you were talking about it in the break, right? The possibility of how AI might enhance. So, you know, I have been busy. I've been taking lots of AI courses, one I did take from Auburn, from a higher education accredited institution. And one of my assignments was to create a digital twin. And the application for a digital twin for me was just, you know, thinking about that advisor role, right? Or that faculty role. I have a syllabus, I teach courses, I've done research, I've done radio shows, I've done op-eds, I've done a lot of stuff about the things that are really important to me. And so we all know this in higher ed, and maybe even K-12 teachers, the family or the student that says at 2:00 in the morning, oh my God, I just had this thought, can you get back to me? And you get up and at 8:00 in the morning, you're like, never. You go into class and go, look, if you send me an email at 2:00 in the morning, I'm not getting back to you. Guess what my digital twin can do, though? I'm not available right now. However, if you click here, Tim's digital twin will gladly help you converse around ideas you may have about the course you're taking with him or about future ideas for directions you're going to go with in your future about teaching and learning. And I created that digital twin, and I got to tell you, it's pretty cool. And I've had a lot of people mess with it and say, you know, if I wasn't available and you had access to this, ask it questions, tell me what you think. People came back and went, oh my God, it was just like we were talking to you, Tim. So I see that as a Jacob. Come on. I got to jump in there, man.
Look, Tim, I'm a guy who spends hours talking to AI anime girl chatbots. And even I think that's a little too creepy, teaching an AI to be you. I mean, they're showing up with the AI to replace you. And you said, no, hold on, boss. Let me show it how to be me. I can. Okay, yeah, so this is what this is, these are the job. Restaurants my wife likes. So if you could take her out there, I don't know, Johnny, what are you thinking about that? Because that one seems a little much for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the extreme version of what I do see as useful and helpful is that, you know, there's a clear need to restructure higher education, and I think when you rebuild a sports team, you're in a rebuild. I want to say higher education's in a rebuild right now. You know, there's a lot of downsizing that's been taking place. There's a lot of labor that's been put on people who, quite frankly, aren't really good at that labor. I've used this example before. You're the world's leading researcher in plastic coatings. You're not. You haven't been like dedicating a big chunk of your life and time to being the best at, you know, answering questions about, you know, why there is a day off on a Monday when there's a day off on a Monday, or when do I have to submit my form for graduation, or who do I need to talk to have this hold lifted from my account? And I think those are important questions that students in a class that teaches about plastic coatings have, you know, that shouldn't, that is falling to professors. And one might argue, well, yeah, that's the job and the duty of being a teacher, but it takes a lot of time. And when you multiply that by, you know, say 70, 80, 90, 100, 150 students in a week, you're going to be spending 1 to 2, 3 days a week just answering questions that I will say historically were covered by people who are hired to be part of higher institution to do that work. So more of the day-to-day grind in operating a university has fallen on faculty, and faculty aren't very good at this. It's not why they got into this, but to a moment of reality, right, is that we are in a rebuild. And so in the midst of that rebuild, faculty have had to become good at this. And what we do know across several generations of not only higher education, but in, you know, K-12, is that research continues to tell us the most influential factor in student learning is a teacher, right? And so higher ed, as we're in rebuild, let's not forget the game. The quality of the game rests in the ability of your great teachers to teach. So we've spread them thin. And if we're using that sports metaphor, you know, we've taken an amazing closing pitcher and we've got him playing first base and starting some games, you know, on the mound. And that's not the best use of that amazing closing pitcher. Or we've taken a pure home run hitter and said, well, I gotta throw you in at shortstop, and I've got you leading off as our batter these because we don't have anybody else who can fill those spots. So as higher ed rebuilds, remember, research continues to tell us that the single most important influencing factor in student learning is a good teacher.
Nice.
So this is where I get excited about, Tim, like even the exploration of going as far as to creating the Tim twin, right? I think that's a fun experiment. I don't know that I'd be totally comfortable, but somewhere in between. Could we have like frequently asked questions, or how often as a professor do I have to say to myself, breathe. Yes, it's in the syllabus. Yes, you've said it 25 times in class. And my students even know, like, why can't it just be on a site that, like, why can't I ask a chatbot? Because again, remember, change in student demographic and expectation. So those kinds of tasks I am seeing, Tim, I'm here to testify. I'm seeing that the busy work that has overrun most of my week is actually reducing. Now, the sad part is, and I will admit the sad truth of this, it isn't filled by other humans.
No, it's not.
So we have already been downsized to taking on all this labor to where we haven't gotten rid of the single most important thing, the teachers.
Right.
So when we talk about, are you ready for the AI university? My actuality of that is, are we ready to have the conversation that we simply just don't need so many administrators? We don't need so many administrators. Or if we do need those administrative roles, let's not forget our product. It's the education. And the single most influential factor in that education is a teacher. So I know that administrators, you're busy, but if you're really good at administrating and you're essential and we need so many of you, then at least chip in and be part of that really important thing and be a teacher too. So cool. I think you kind of solve two problems at once. You start to really emphasize that the labor is about the teaching, and there are all these tools that can help free you up to be researching and teaching, to be providing that important product, being world leaders in thought and in practice, and then teaching future world leaders to be that.
Yeah, I'm gonna not take offense to the attack on administrators, having been one for the last 14 years and going on to continue to be one. And I will say that administrators, this AI message is also for us too, because I'm seeing this, Johnny, now too, that it, and I'm going to go, this is Ethan Mollick's, the AI researcher at Penn University, who's put out, this is a co-intelligence moment. And really good administrators stepping up and using AI is going to make them even better and potentially move this forward. I gotta say though, with you, I also really see this moment, and again, I'm excited about this again because of where I'm headed. I really have this question that's going to be driving me in this new place is how do we create an AI enhanced human centered learning experience, and particularly that scales and say and serves new learners. That's where I'm excited. That's where I see this then too, as a tool, as for an administrator also, is that it can help me explore these ways. And so, you know, I guess that's the other thing. We're coming back to going, okay, you know, how are you going to use this tool? We'll take this time though too, Johnny. You made a point here, and this is covered in Scott Latham's piece. Yeah, you point out that maybe a lot of those roles that as a faculty member, maybe we shouldn't have been doing anyway, and potentially, and in fact, there are offices on campus that typically serve this. And I do see AI not taking faculty and administrators' jobs very quickly, but I do see some of those places like potentially some of the tutoring services colleges offer, registration in the registrar's office. I really see a reduction occurring there pretty quickly because that work can be done with AI, and it can be done a lot with a lot less errors. I don't know. Take that for what it's worth, Johnny. We'll hit it when we get back. Artificial intelligence. I don't know. I feel still pretty intelligent. More when we get back. You know what that means. Last segment, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Yeah, we're busting artificially intelligently generated pencils. I don't know. Maybe thinking about it. Lots here, lots going on. I kind of left that with the point of going, okay, there are some other services on university campuses where AI might be coming for your job. We need to think about this. And I guess my enthusiasm is just really comes back to the sense that over since the introduction in 2022 and onward, my use, my engagement, my exploration, my going out and working with me, you know, taking my own courses, I see the potential for incredibly transformative future and particularly in teaching and learning. And I do see that it's kind of like, it's like a bionic piece that has been given to me now, and I'm going to refer back to Ethan Mollick's concept of co-intelligence. I can do things, I think, better with more clarity, and I can spend more time thinking deeply the things that I really like to do. And in fact, I would procrastinate a lot of times because I just didn't want to do the busy work, and I really like doing the deep thinking work. And I've really found AI to be a real help in taking away that busy work and actually making that busy work more productive for me. And so really helping me. And I just see the opportunities for learners. I see the opportunities for explorations. And I really do have to say for higher education, I really see an institution that has that commitment to access and to working with other students on top of the traditional age students, that AI presents a real opportunity to a forward-thinking administration, faculty, and staff, an entire campus that sees this as an enhancement to making it an even better institution than it already is at doing that work. So I'm going to kind of leave it maybe there. Johnny is gone. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to ever take communion together or not, but you know.
No, man, I'm not buying the AI vibe. I get it as a tool. I see that. And then it stretches into this like silver bullet that's going to fix everything. And I just don't think it will. It's another tool. I agree with you. It increases our time available to do what we're great at in different tasks. I think for me, it's a bigger picture. In my 25 years in higher ed as an educator and a researcher, and have had my hat in leadership. And so I see the importance of all this, but I think that blue collarness in me comes out. And it's also going to be a sports metaphor. I do truly believe the most important people, whether we're talking sports team or we're talking factory, are the people that are closest to your product. Mm-hmm. Essential people who, like, if we're making cars, it's the people who design and make the cars. Yes, all those other pieces about like decisions and executive office stuff has to happen, because in some ways we've created a lot of layers of necessity. But when we boil down to it, it's why the players on the sports team make more than the coach or the GM a lot of times, your top players. You can't be competitive without them. This mm-hmm. is the same thing for universities, who've got this backwards right now, where the salary increases by moving in out of teaching and into solely research or into administration. And I think this is a backwards plan model. Like it's really a problem. It makes logical sense. Like, oh, you become the boss, and it's an antiquated non-blue collar model, non-union based idea of labor, where it's saying like the boss tells us what to do and knows what to do. And my pitch is like, if we're talking about AI transforming university and we keep talking about professors, let's put on the table how it transforms and might make more efficient the administrative bloat that higher ed has right now, right? So if you're coming for the professors, well, I'm just thoughtfully coming back at the fact and saying, no, Tim is actually not coming for the professors. But I mean, in general, AI discussions about, well, professors, how are you adapting or not adapting? It's like, whoa, dude, your job is basically to tell me when my class is and how many students are in it. Okay, you're overpaid middle management, right? And yes, you have to do a lot of other stuff that I think is really important. But I want to know like how AI can help really increase efficiency across the whole university, mm-hmm. not just whether or not I'm using it in my classroom as a teacher. It's a whole model change that I think is really important and also we'll continue to hammer at. And in that kind of context, why I say that is because I'm going to come back to this. I don't think AI can come even close to replacing the experience necessary for high quality learning, which is it innately always been humanness.
Human experience.
And so it's transforming the labor, hopefully radically, I think, forcing a much needed long time change. But here we go, right? I hope to see that it enhances, and that's where we're together at. That's a collaborative tool for all of higher ed
across the entire system. I agree 100% with you, Johnny. Professors, faculty, staff, everybody right now. That's where we need to be. You know what, though? Now it's time for your moment of zen. I started studying history with one view in mind: to look for answers to the issues and problems I saw in the world about me.
Oh, happy Saturday, if it's Saturday when you're listening. But thanks for listening to Busted Pencils today. And remember to grab great podcasts. That's right, chocked full with your fully leaded education talk here. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course, on the Civic Media website, or at BustedPencils.com. Don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And if you can, make sure to catch class in session on Wednesday, and you find us on Fridays for hurdles and home run. And of course, you can always find us, Busted Pencils broadcast, 3 p.m. Central Time, across all the Civic Media Network stations, for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.